Amen. So to be easy, to make a long story short, verse 13 through 17. All right. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Lord, we do thank you tonight for the opportunity to preach your word. And I pray, oh God, that you would help us to just focus our hearts. And Lord, give us singleness of heart and singleness of mind here tonight. Lord, there are no doubt fears and anxieties and griefs, God, that would overtake us if we would sit here and think about them. And normally when we get in a place and are able to sit down for a few minutes, God, our minds do begin to wander and get taken up with all sorts of things while our hands are not moving or busy doing other things. But Lord, I pray, God, that instead of that, we'd be able to sit here and Lord, focus our hearts and minds on the Word of God that's being read, the Word of God that's being preached, and the truth, Lord, that really and truly should be applied to our hearts tonight. Help us, oh God, in these things, and we'll thank you for everything that you do. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Amen. All right. So let's look in verse number 13. It says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Well, that right there would be a good way to spend your time instead of going to the Financial Peace University. Amen. If you want to get gain, you buy something, sell it. Buy low, sell high. And Jerry Clower said that's what you call profit, amen? Buying, and selling, and get gain. Well, the problem with that is when you let that buying and selling and getting gain be the focus of your life, and when it becomes the focus of your life, really, you're going to be hard-pressed to do what God wants you to do and to do that well, because the Lord has promised us that everything that we need for today, he's going to give us. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then he said, all these things, your raiment, all these things, the shelter over your head. He said, all these things, he said, will be added unto you. And so we just got to really decide whether or not we want to believe him and take him up on that. Amen. And so if you want to buy and sell and get gain, that'd be fine. That'd be all right. But just don't set your heart on it. And I think the smart aleck answer that most people give when somebody says something that's not likely, the answer is don't count on it. Don't count on it. Yeah. Amen. Say, well, I'm going to build me a $10 million empire. Don't count on it. Don't count on it. And really, that's what this verse is saying. There's nothing wrong with making merchandise. There's nothing. As a matter of fact, the Bible says a good man will lay up in store for his children's children. That's right, and that's good. And then Solomon comes along and says this as well. He says, you're going to set up for your grandchildren's grandchildren, and they're probably going to be fools, and what you've saved for 40 years, they're going to get rid of in about a week's time. And you know that's the God's honest truth. Amen? That's about the way that it's going to happen. But I'm thankful that we all have to give an account for ourselves. Amen? You don't have to give an account for your fools. I mean, your sons. Amen. And your daughters. Amen. Now, that's not to say you don't care for them and look, watch out for their needs. And that's not to say that. But you do the best you can with that, and then let the Lord's will have his way. Let the Lord's will have his direction. The Bible says the Lord has his way in the whirlwind. And maybe your son and your daughters and your grandson and granddaughters might have to go through a few whirlwinds before the Lord will have his will in their life. But the main thing you've got to be concerned about is, does God have his will in your life? In your life. Amen. And so he says, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow we will go into such a city. You know, some people think that their life is tied up in some city. Amen. We've even began to think about putting some churches down in Jacksonville. And some people get the idea if they would just move to New York, they could make it big. And many a fool in this country has moved out to California thinking Los Angeles was going to be the answer or San Francisco was going to be the answer, and just not been the answer. There's far more folks been ruined by moving to those two cities than there will ever be that made it good. And you hear about some folks, and probably everybody that you've heard about on television made it big either in New York or in California. But you don't let that fool you. That's a very small minority of people who made it, and they didn't make it. All they did is make money and thought that they had gain. But the Bible says that godliness with contentment is great gain. Amen? And so that's what I think he's trying to tell you here. Some people say, hey, I'm going to go into such a city, and they think that that's going to be the answer. And that's not the answer. Amen? The answer is not being in a certain city. The answer is being in a certain will, and that's God's will. Being in God's directive, being in God's place, being in God's time. Brother Nathan preached to you last Wednesday about being in your place, and I believe your place is where you're at. Amen. I believe your place is where you are. Amen. Elijah's place was by a brook. God said, get over there by that brook and I'm going to feed you. And God fed him there till the brook dried up. And sometimes brooks do dry up. Amen. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they do and sometimes they don't. But when God gets you in a place, just say, well, am I doing God's will? You know, a lot of people say, well, how do I know if I'm in God's will? Well, let me ask you the question. Are you doing God's will? If you're doing God's will, then you're in God's will. See, it's not a big secret. It's not a big mystery. It's not something that you got to search for. It's not something that you've got to pray for 20 hours in order to find. Now, I'm not telling you not to pray 20 hours. Not telling you that at all. Not telling you that at all. You pray as many hours as you can. You pray as many hours as you will. But being in God's will is doing God's will. If you'll do God's will, you're in God's will wherever you are. Amen. There's no question about that. You don't need a city. Now, some people would say it's God's will for us to be in Jerusalem, but you'd be in the wrong dispensation then, because God's capital is not in Jerusalem right now. It's in my heart. Amen. It's in my heart. How else could I get in before the throne of grace except it be in my own heart and in my own mind? If I'll bow the knee in this building, I may not be in God's presence at all. But if I'll bow my knee right here in my own chest cavity, we call it the heart. If I'll bow my knee right there in sincerity, you know, that's what the Bible says about the Bible itself. It says it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. A bowed heart will get you in the right place. A stubborn heart and a bended knee means absolutely nothing, even though they're together. Amen. That's absolute truth. That's absolute truth, and I would remember it. Amen. You can go to a city and you can get a bunch of people to follow you, and that doesn't mean you're in God's will. If that was the case, then everybody who's ever got a large crowd was in God's will. And that's just not a proof. Amen. Brigham Young had a lot of people follow him. You know, of course, Joseph Smith come before him. But those folks had a large following. But that just didn't mean that God's will was. You know, a lot of people say, well, just because this preacher had a lot of converts and this preacher had a lot of people following his ministry, I don't know that that might not be a curse. Amen. The Bible says, now listen, when the whole world goes crazy over a preacher, or if the whole world goes crazy over a fad, or if the whole world goes crazy over a certain type of worship or whatever the case is, that's really not an indication that it's God's hand or God's power or God's will. A matter of fact, the Bible says that the way that leads to the Lord is a straight way, and few there be that find it. And the Bible says the way that leads to destruction, he said, many there be which go in thereat. He said it's a wide gate, and a lot of people can get through there. And don't make no mistake about it, God's will is a place where most people are not. Amen. And the reason that they're not isn't because it isn't because you've got any better heart than they've got, or they've got any worse heart than you've got. They may or may not be believers. But the reason that a lot of people can't find God's will is because they think it's in a certain place. If I could just get in that certain city, I would be able to do a lot for the Lord. You can do a lot for the Lord even if nobody follows you. All you got to do is be in his will. Amen. And so he says, go not, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year. So where might you be in a year? Have you ever thought about that? What will I be doing in the year? And the indication here in the verse of Scripture is a year from now just doesn't matter. Amen. Just doesn't matter. Now, I think basically what he's trying to tell you is don't plan a year when you can't plan tomorrow. And don't we always push it off to tomorrow? We push it off to tomorrow because the Lord said sufficient for the evil is sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. So we say, well, we better not plan tomorrow. Well, that's not exactly what he said. He said, go to now, ye that say today. You don't know what will happen in the rest of the day. Some of us think we're going home. We might not make it. Amen. Now that sounds really bad. We could end up in the morgue before we get home, but we could be on our way home and listen, somebody could give us a telephone call and the rest of our night be altered. Wouldn't be nothing bad towards us, but something bad could happen somewhere else and your plans be altered that way. So it isn't always gloom and doom. It's not always gloom and doom, but you just can't plan a ministry. You just can't plan a ministry. You can get good ideas. You can set your heart on some things. You can get some direction that you think you might want to go. You can get some direction that no doubt in my mind the Lord would be okay if you'd done it. Amen. But the thing is we invest so much time in the next year. We invest so much time thinking about the next year, the next 10 years. Who knows where we'll be in 10 years? You don't and I don't. Brother Mike, will you be the pastor here next year? I don't know. I just don't know. And you don't know either. I don't know if I'll be alive. I don't know if I'll be dead. I don't know if I'll be an assistant pastor somewhere else. I don't know if I'll be sitting on a church pew somewhere else doing nothing. I don't know if I'll be in my living room backslid as the day is long. I just don't know. I don't know what tomorrow brings. The best way to make sure your tomorrow's come out right is do today right. Amen? Do today right. Get through today right. And I'll tell you what, I have enough problems doing that. Even if we're not talking about bodily, talking about mentally, have a hard time getting through a day. Have a hard time mentally putting 4 or 5 good days together. And boy, I tell you what, if I had to sit down and plan out those 4 days right now, I'd probably make a mess of it. I'd probably make a mess of it. Or I'd probably plan it out and have everything worked out just in my imagination. I know how every day is going to go and I'm going to do this, this, and this. And I'd spend all that time planning it out, but no energy making it come to pass, and it'd just be a bunch of wasted time. Amen? Hadn't you planned on making a lot of money? You know why you hadn't made a lot of money? Well, I don't know what all the reasons are, but part of the reasons is you hadn't put forth the effort. You put more effort into planning than you did doing. Amen? There's something to that. There is something to that. So a lot of it's just wasted time and vain thoughts. Now, I'm not talking about not having any ambition, and I'm not recommending to you proud ambition or anything like that, but my soul, you got to have a little bit of get up and go. You got to have a little bit of plan. You got to have a little bit of something like that. But the problem comes when you make your own plans and then you try to stick to it, not considering what God's will is for the thing. And a lot of people think that's what God's will is. A certain city, a certain year. Now, the Lord, I said it at the beginning of this year. Lord, this is going to be a good year. I say that at the beginning of every year, don't I? Well, I got some hopes and I got some good plans and I got some good intentions. I got all those things. But the fact of the matter is, it's hard to plan out a year. Once in a while, my wife will say, hey, what you want for supper tomorrow? And I say, hey, I haven't got the rest of the day planned out yet. I ain't going to try to plan out tomorrow. Amen. I'm not even hungry right now. And I don't know how I'm going to plan on what I want to eat tomorrow. I just say, just surprise me. And when she does, I'll say, I don't like this. Amen. I should have kept my mouth shut all along. Amen. Well, he says, we'll go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. All that is speculation. It's all speculation. Did you know you can buy and it might not sell even if you get it cheap? It might not sell. And then you can plan on buying and maybe nobody's got none of it for sale. It's on back order. And by the time you get your shipment, Every Tom, Dick, and Harry in town's done got their shipment, and they're selling it lower than you can. Amen. I don't know what it is about it, but life is just that way. Everything that you buy and sell ain't going to turn into gain. Just ain't going to turn into gain. I've bought some things that I could sell, but I've also lost a lot of money on some things I've bought and sold. Well, that's just the way that it is. And you know, the Bible says the lot's cast into the lap, but the disposing of the thing, really, it has to do with the Lord. Amen? Really does have to do with the Lord. The Lord disposes of those things the way He wants to. And so I'm not a Calvinist, but I sure do believe in the sovereignty of God, and I sure do believe in the providence of God. Amen? And I really trust in God's providence. I really do. The bad thing about wondering if you're in the right place is you can't do anything about it. Amen? I mean, here I am. You know what the Lord said, and it's really profound, and it really fits in with this context. He said, by taking thought, you can't add one inch to your stature. Well, let's see. Let's all sit here and wish we was in sunny and warm Miami right now. Because today's been cold. I mean, it's really been up in the 60s, and really, I think technically it was warm, but I froze to death because it was airish outside. The wind was blowing. And when the wind blows, I don't care if it's below 70 and the wind's blowing, I freeze to death. But I tell you, let's sit here and imagine until we just materialize on the beach in Miami. Of course, Baptists ain't supposed to go to the beach. So I'll try to materialize about a mile inland. But it ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. Here's where I'm at. Here's where I is, amen? And that's all that we can do about it, so why not make the most of it right now, amen? You know, there's times, from time to time, we'll come in, we'll have a service like we've got tonight, and some people are out. And usually when people are out, you know, it kind of affects the congregation. And you folks that are here, I mean, the folks that legitimately on trips and different stuff like that, we understand that. I'm not trying to make a negative comment about it. But you folks that are here, just kind of remember how it feels when some folks are out. Just kind of remember how it is. And then that way you can be an encouragement every week instead of being a discouragement or anything. Amen? But you know what? From time to time we get a time where you know, at least I know beforehand that some people ain't going to be there. Kind of discouraging because I want to preach to people. Want to preach to people. I just never have got anything. Not one of these pews has ever got up on its hind legs and come to the altar and repented over anything. Not one of them. So I like to preach to people. But you know what? I mean, I could whine about that, and I could cry about that, but I can tell you there ain't nothing I can do about it. So just come do what is. Amen? Come take things the way it is. Back in the Revolutionary War, General Washington, he didn't like them stinking Yankees no more than we like them today. They were dirty. They were disobedient. They were unorganized. They were so... non-military minded that they actually took elections to elect their officers. And that just ain't no way to get a military officer, amen? The guy that might scratch you back or let you give an extra 10 hours off duty, you might elect him. So George Washington said, man, these people are the most unmilitary-like folks I've ever seen in my life. And they were sitting around there discussing it, and what he came to the conclusion. The conclusion that he came to is this. He said, "Well, if we can't have them the way that we want them, I guess it's best just to take them the way they are." Amen. Because they needed soldiers. They needed people to point them rifles over at them redcoats, them lobster backs, and pull triggers. I mean, they wasn't no good fellas around. So just take the bad ones that you got and arm them with as much ammunition as they can carry. And that's about what we've got to do with Baptists this day and time. We can't have the best ones. We don't have the good ones. We don't have the smart ones. We don't even have the present ones most of the time. But we'll take the ones that we got and give them as much ammunition as they can carry and tell them to get out the back door and start pulling the trigger. Amen? Just take it the way it is. You can't think about it until things change. You're not going to change it by taking thought. Just not going to do it. So we might buy and we might sell, we might get gain, or we might run down to 35 next week. You ain't never tell what we might do, but guess what? You got to be in God's will. When I first come to church here, I took a little post-it note and stuck it on my office wall back there. And I said, 4 or 40 or 400, I have to be faithful. And that's the way that it has to be. Amen. So a lot of times when it comes to serving the Lord, a lot of times when it comes to just our own personal business, which is your business, what you do inside of four walls, but whether it's serving the Lord or running our own households, most of the time we have this attitude that we can make money in a certain place and we can buy a certain thing and sell it for this much and we can get gain, when that the disposing of it is really in the hands of the Lord. Amen. Because he says this in verse 14, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor. Well, what's this verse trying to tell us? I think this verse is trying to tell us that life is too short work to worry about things that we really don't have control over. Now, you say, well, why should we worry about the Word of God then? Because the Lord has control over the Word of God. Why should we worry about the ministry? Because the Lord has control over the ministry. So why should we worry about trying to get souls saved? Because the Lord has control over that. All we got to do is plant the seed with that, and somebody will come along and water it, and then God will give the increase. God will give the increase. God will give the increase, and that's the way we should look at, I believe, our whole life. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do, and God will give the increase. Isn't that the proof? I would say the proof text for that thought is the book of Proverbs. We've been studying it, and he keeps telling us, you do this, and I'll do this. You do this, and I'll do this. You seek after wisdom, and it'll give you a long life. I mean, isn't that what it's telling us? Isn't that the promise that it's making? Do what you're supposed to do, and the disposing of it will be up to the Lord. And the Lord, we know, will find faithful. Amen. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. And then I can say this about that. You don't have much time. You don't have much time. I can oftentimes, if I'll sit down and be still and I'm thinking along these lines, I'll hear the voice of Ian Paisley, our dearly departed brother, that from over there in Ireland. He'll say, there's little short graves out there in that funeral home. Hey, none of us have no promise of tomorrow. They're little short graves. They's full-size graves out there in that grave, where out there in that cemetery, where people live long lives and full lives and successful lives. But the long life and the full life and the successful life of somebody else has no reflection on you and I. We've got our own lives. And they could be long and they could be cut off in an instant. They surely could. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. If a full life is a long life, it's still a vapor. And if a long life is a full life, and if we're talking about 70 years long, then even if I knew I was going to live a long and a full life, half of mine is over. 70 years, I'm beyond the halfway point. And he said, if your body's strong, you might make it to 80. And truly, some people do make it a little longer than that, don't they? Well, still for 80, I'm still over halfway. And that's a source of depression for a lot of people, but it ought to be a source of motivation for us. I mean, got only a short time to go, and we got to get busy, and we got to put our track shoes on and build up our wind and go as fast as we can, because there's not that many things to do on this earth that's going to matter eternally. So we need to find out what is going to last beyond the grave, what is going to last into eternity, and we're going to have to do those things, do them the best we can. And let the disposing of the matter fall on the only one that can figure those things out. Our Lord, amen? Amen. He says, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Notice he stopped talking about cities. He didn't say, if the Lord will, we'll get to this city. No, he just said, if the Lord wills, we'll live. If the Lord wills, we'll be. If the Lord wills, we'll wake up in the morning, we'll go. You say, well, wasn't you doing that all night? I don't know. I wouldn't listen. The one fella said, I don't snore. I stayed up all night to check one time, and I didn't snore a wink. Well, we don't know what we're doing while we're sleeping, but I know this. When you wake up in the morning, you draw that first breath of the day, you think, well, praise the Lord, here I am. Now, what am I going to do with it? And boy, if you're like me, you waste a lot of days and waste a lot of time. If I was a busy and a thrifty man like I ought to be, I'd have already had my taters in the ground, but I didn't plant no taters this year. And I'm thinking about not putting no corn in and thinking about, well, I'll tell you this, though, I don't know what I will do, but if I never put no seed, I'll never get nothing up. Never will get nothing up. Unless God decides to let something from time to time, the Lord's let something from last year grow. There'll be a seed way down there deep in the ground, and I don't know how it got there. Maybe the rainwater pushed it down there. I don't know. Maybe the dog's digging around in the garden, which is the bane of my existence. I can't stand a dog in my garden. It drives me crazy. But I don't know. Maybe he dug around in there and pushed it down deep, and it didn't come up. But you know, sometimes when I turn the ground the next year, that seed will come up near the surface, and in a day or two it'll come up. I say, look, I didn't plant that. Where did it come from? Well, it was from last year. You said it stayed good in the ground? Must have. There it is. There it is. Sometimes God will give you fruit from seed that you've sowed a long time ago, but boy, you keep putting in fresh seed, there'll be an abundance. I will tell you this, seed that comes up from years past is going to be small. You're not going to get a field full from last year. Amen. You need to sow a field full this year if you want a field full this year. And that's just the way that goes. That's just the law. That's the law. That's the way it is. He says, for that we ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. And that's about what I've been doing for 47 years. This or that. This or that. Ain't you? When you look at all you've accomplished, really, that is motivation for doing more this week or doing more tomorrow or whatever the case may be. Here I'm telling you not to say anything except for if the Lord will. Well, if the Lord wills, I'll do some witness. It is His will. There's no question about that for me to witness and do this or that. But what I'm trying to get across to you is not being presumptuous about what you're going to do and what you ain't going to do. Amen? Now you get it in your heart to do the right thing tomorrow and do the right thing Tuesday and do the right thing. Well, I don't know. I think today's Wednesday, so tomorrow definitely won't be Monday. But what I'm trying to get across to you is you get it in your heart to do the right thing next year or do the right and do your best to do it, but just don't count on everything going your way because the Lord's the disposer of all those things. Now look what he says. He says, if the Lord wills, you'll wake up tomorrow. If the Lord wills, we'll get some churches started around Waycross and Jacksonville and some different other places. Who knows, we might spread around all over the world, little People's Baptist churches all over the world. We don't know. That's in the Lord's faithfulness. That's in the Lord's power to make stuff like that happen. But we can set our hearts on doing the right thing and then do it. Amen. We can. And if the Lord wills, we'll live and we'll do this or that. Amen. What you going to do this year in the ministry? This or that. If the Lord wills it. Amen. Now look at this very interesting statement that he makes. He said, but now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Now you know what he's saying in that passage of scripture right there? He says you're rejoicing and you're boasting. And don't we oftentimes, because I've said this before, and I believe this with all my heart, I believe the imagination is the god of the flesh. Just like the Jews of old and just like all the pagans worship false gods, I believe the false god of the flesh, I believe the god that the flesh worships is the imagination. And if you would be honest with me tonight, your mind has had more pleasure in imagining the things that you will do than it has than that your flesh has had pleasure in the things that you have actually done. Now you think about that just a minute. The plans that you've made have given you more pleasure than the deeds you have done. I believe that with all my heart. We sit and we think, and boy, it would be so great if we could build a big building. It would be so great if we could win 1,000 souls. It would be so great if I could read my Bible through 30 times in a year and be the most scholarly Bible teacher that there is. And our mind goes over these things. We sit around and go, yes, that would be wonderful. And the smile that comes over our face and the peace that floods our heart, because in this world we live in, you know, the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. The Lord told those men that were building Babel, he said, anything they got put in their mind to do, they can do it. And so when we're planning out this and we're planning out that, you know, all those dreams are achievable unless the Lord hinders you. You say, well, the devil might hinder, but if the Lord be for us, who can be against us? But we plan out all these things that we're going to do, and the reason that we can convince ourselves to take pleasure in these plans that we're making is because they're actually attainable if we'll do them. And as we're planning it out, oh yes, that'd be so wonderful. And yes, sir. Yeah. I know exactly, if I were to be successful at that, I know exactly the little house that I would build. And it would look like a little log cabin. It would have a little set of stairs going up to a loft. And my bed would be up there. And there'd be a little window where the light would come in the morning. And a little fireplace. And when it's cold, I can get in the firewood and get the fire going. And maybe a little snow on the ground. And a four-wheel drive truck sitting outside. And my beautiful wife. And you see how good that feels? But while you're working every day and sweat coming out of your brow, you that's the way you are all day. So you're taking more pleasure in the planning than you are in the doing of your life. You're planning your life and having the time of your life. You're doing your life and not satisfied in it. And the Lord said, that's evil. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. Well, what's the things that he's boasting about? He's boasting about the city he's going to go to. And he's boasting about how long he's going to stay there. And he's boasting about how he's going to buy and sell and get gain. That's what he's boasting about. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. He said, for you know not what a day may bring forth. That's exactly what he's talking about. You're rejoicing over things you have not done. And you're not enjoying the things that you are doing. You say, what do I need to do? You need to crack down, get on an altar somewhere and say, Lord, help me live this life right here that's portrayed in this book. Help me get in your will, and whatever I do tomorrow, help me to do it for your honor and glory. And the Lord also told us through Paul the Apostle, he said, whatsoever state you should find yourself in, you should be content. Now, you know, he said that about himself. Whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. But you know that was encouragement for you, don't you? Amen. Contentment with what you got. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, not think good. You know the old saying is, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Well, the reason that is because good intentions don't produce anything until you put legs on your plans and on your prayers. There used to be an old sign at White Plains Baptist Church. It may still be there. I don't remember if it is or not. I hadn't been there in a couple of years. But it hung up over here right by the clock. There was a clock here. Preacher Lackey was smart enough not to put the clock back there. That way all the people would, instead of turning around and look to see how long the preacher's been preaching, they could just look right up over his shoulder, and there it was. Well, I think he was kind of sneaky, because right beside that clock he put up a sign that said, put legs on your prayers. And a lot of people pray like they plan their tomorrows. It's just talk. Lord, help me to do right, but they never try to do right. Well, I mean, at least try. Amen. If you're going to pray about something, at least, Lord, help me to make a good enough amount of money this year. And we pray that prayer as piously as we can. None of us say, well, Lord, just help me make a lot of money. Period. We say, look, now, Lord, if you let me make a lot of money this year, I'll surely take care of my family. Don't we do it that way? And, Lord, you know, if I make a good amount of money this year, I can surely tie that right to the church. And, you know, you're dealing with God like he's a silly woman. That's really what it is. That's really what it is. And, ladies, I don't mean any offense by that, but that's just the way folks deal with ladies. Amen. Trying to be tricksters. I've probably done it to my wife a couple of times, and I'll probably pay for it before it's over with, maybe tonight. Amen. Amen. That's right. You just wait till you want a new truck, and you'll catch yourself doing it. Amen. Amen. But the Bible says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. Okay, you want to pray for a lot of money this year? Go ahead and pray for it. And I hope God answers your prayers. But it ain't going to come sitting on the couch. What's the old saying? And I don't have any fear of making these old sayings or bringing out these old sayings, but nothing ventured, nothing gained. All right. Well, put some legs on your prayers. Amen. Pray and do. Amen. Pray and do. Pray and do. Pray and, you know, we said, well, the Lord said to watch. Yes, He did. Amen. So while you're praying and doing, you can be watching. Amen. You say, well, good things come to those that wait on the Lord. Of course, you're messing up the scripture when you say it, but I've heard that said many a times. Okay, you wait, but you work while you're waiting. Amen. Have you ever, did your English teacher ever give you this little saying? Use your time wisely. I had a teacher named Emma Gray Easter, and I hope she wasn't no kin to me. Lord, that was the meanest woman they ever was. That meanest woman they ever was. I remember them kids would put tacks in her seat and all kinds of stuff. Ain't no telling. Anyway, we did give her a hard time, but she picked her boogers. Man, she'd be, that's not good pulpit etiquette, but she did. That's what she did. She'd be up there, and we'd be doing our work, and we'd peek up there, and she'd go, Lord, nobody got near that desk. Nobody would dare just to look under that desk and see what kind of mess was under there. But that's what she'd done, all right? But she would, out of the blue, this lady would come up with one of them old-time mountaineer sayings like that. I mean, never fit into context. But she would just come up with, she'd be teaching about pronouns and verbs, and all of a sudden she would say something. I guess she ran out of stuff to say about pronouns and verbs. She had to say something, so she'd say something like, every tub must stand upon its own bottom. that's a verb, all right. I don't know what it has to do with it. Or she'd say, the no rest for the wicked and the righteous don't need none. She'd come up with all kinds of stuff like it, which is, they're all true, I guess, but what they had to do with English grammar, I don't know. But one thing that she would say is, use your time wisely. Use your time wisely. So while you're waiting on the Lord and while you're watching for God to do something, well, get out and get busy. Use your time wisely. Say, what are you doing? Well, I'm waiting on the Lord to do something. Well, it looks like you're working to me. Yeah, it looks like you're working, but this is unskilled labor I'm doing here. The Lord's going to come by and give the increase at some point in time. And I believe that. Why do I believe that? Because the scripture says in all labor there is profit. In all labor there's profit. We've had fellas come around this church and other places I've known, and fellas not have a job and not have no way, and I have pity for somebody like that, and I've tried to help people like that, give them money or food or whatever they need. But you know what I tell them? I tell them, what you're really after is an income. It's a wage you're after. That's profit. You do some labor and you get a gain from it. Well, I tell them, if nobody will hire you, then just go knock on your neighbor's door and say, let me mow your yard. And he'll probably say, well, I don't really want to pay nobody. And he'll say, I want to do it for free. And he'll probably protest. And after he gets done protesting, go mow his yard anyway. And he may not pay you, and that's not what I'm telling you to do it for, but the Bible says in all labor there's profit. Just get out and get busy. Something will come about. Something will come up. That's God's word on the issue. God's word on the issue. And not to mention that, but that's treating your neighbor well. And I know that's God's will. Amen. If the Lord will, we shall live. Well, it's the Lord's will to help our neighbors. It's the Lord's will to love our neighbors. It's the Lord's will for us to provide for our family. It's the Lord's will for us to witness. It's the Lord's will for us to preach the gospel. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. It's the Lord's. See, a lot of fellas, hey, I'm just trying to find if God's will for me to preach or not. Of course it's God's will for you to preach. What are you waiting for? A sign? A lightning bolt? What are you waiting for? A letter that comes from the post office of heaven to tell you? No, sir, if you're a man, preach the gospel. Amen. 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 Well, you know, I believe God wants me in Kenya. Okay. How do you know that? Well, you know, God spoke to me out of this verse. Y'all hold on while I look up the word Kenya in my concordance. Tain't in there. You said, well, I really got a burden for Vietnam. I got a burden for Great Britain. Move! Go! The chapter that's about men being called to be bishops or overseers in the ministry said, if any man desire the office of a bishop. Doesn't say if any man's called to the office of bishop. Don't you think it should have said that? It probably really says that in the Greek, if any man's called. But don't say that. It says, if any man desire the office of a bishop. He desires a good thing. Now you've got to, there's a few things there for you to get straight. Amen. If you're not one of those things, I reckon you should get yourself into that condition. But you called, amen. Romans chapter 1 tells us we're the called. We are the called. Amen. Now let's do, amen. Let's do. If God's will is for to do a thing, let's get it done. We are called to preach. We are called to witness. We are called to pray. Those things are God's will. It's God's will. He said, I will that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. I wouldn't be ashamed if I was you. Every once in a while, the Lord said his house would be called a house of prayer. Did you know that that's why if you go over there to Ireland, they still do it. In this country, they used to do it. When the men came in the house of God, they'd take their hats off. And when the women come in, they'd leave their hats on. And men would sit around going, these ladies, you know, they're really special. They get to leave their hats on and all this stuff. We got to take our hats off and show our bald, sun-skint heads. And we got to, you know, we got to sit here and just leave our hats to the whims of whatever kid runs by the hat rack and knocks them in the floor and stomps them and all that kind of stuff right there. But did you know the Lord said, he said his house would be called a house of prayer. And the Bible said for women not to pray with their head covered, with their head uncovered, but men to pray with theirs uncovered. Is that what it says or don't it? Well, some of the things that we do by tradition are actually God's will. So it's God's will for you to pray. It's God's will for you to do these things that we've already talked about, that I could make the sermon 15 minutes longer if I went over again, but I ain't going to do that. But I think the point's been made tonight. If the Lord wills, we'll do this or that. We'll live and do this or that. And I think we could all define this or that, what we can do, what we can do, what we can do. Say, so, well, Brother Mike, if I could just do this, I'd be willing to do it. Well, if there's a willing mind, the Bible says that it's accepted of you, not according to what you don't have, but what according to you do, but according to what you do have. It's not about sitting back and thinking, oh, if I had this, I would do this. It's about just taking what you do have. And all of us have a voice. All of us have a hand that we can pass out a track. All of us have a knee, or at least we got one in our hearts that we can get alone and bend our knee to God and just do the simple things if we can't do what most people perceive as the great things. And I think some of us will be pleasantly surprised that it's those little things that God is going to reward the most. So we think building a church with 10,000 and it's a great thing, but I think we're going to find that those people that could just sit in the corner and maybe their body doesn't work like it should, but they can sit there and pray in earnesty and honesty with goodwill and good intent for those that are doing. I think those folks get a whole lot of reward. I think so. When the Lord... I read in my Bible one time where the Lord just sat over out of the way and watched as the people came by and put their money in the offering plate. And some of them men, they were great men. They put in a lot of money. But here comes this little woman and scrapes in a few mites out of her little hand there. And they fell in the plate. And as they did, it made joyful noise unto the Lord. Because he said over there, he said, look here. Look what she's done. He said, she put in all that she had. And it was just a little bit. But that little bit that she had was far greater than anything that those rich men put in. Because she gave it with a different kind of heart. And I believe the Lord looks at prayer the same way and witnessing the same way. I know he looks at the offering plate that way. I know he looks at a humble witness and a humble preacher and a humble prayer that very same way. If we'll get busy tomorrow doing what we should do for the Lord, what it is the Lord's will for us to do, we'll live much, much, much more blessed lives. Amen. Lord, we thank you tonight for the opportunity to preach. And Lord, I pray, God, with all my heart, you'd take this message and make it real and make an opportunity, God, for us poor sinners, Lord, to just go out with an honest heart and do what we can. Lord, you said about the little old lady in the Bible that offered that ointment out of that alabaster box. Lord, you said she hath done what she could. And I pray, oh God, you'd help each and every man, woman, boy, and girl in this church, God, to do what we can. And I know that you'll be faithful with that offering, and Lord, you'll make it go far. And I thank you for these things. Bless these that have come here tonight, God. Help them and secure them through the rest of the week. Bring us back again at the appointed time with joyful hearts, and we'll thank you for everything that you do. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Thank you for coming. You're dismissed.